Okay, it's speaker time. I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Cheryl L. from the Frick Park Group of NA in the East End area.
I'm an addict named Cheryl. So if this were any other Saturday morning at 9 a.m., I would be at a little building on the corner of Forbes and Braddock in Regent Square across from Frick Park, participating in my home group, which is a Steps and Traditions meeting. So, yes, that's my shameless plug. And this morning, they're actually on Tradition 8 out of the new Guiding Principles book. So I'm kind of sad to be missing my home group this morning, but I'm excited to be here and talking about steps 1, 2, and 3. And looking out, I don't think that I'm talking to anybody who has no experience with steps 1, 2, and 3. So I don't know. So now hi, Tim. So I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth now. I think probably the most important thing I could say right now is, like, for me, step work has been the most important part of the recovery process. Well, let me take that back. I don't know that anything's the most important, because everything all kind of works together. Like, if I'm doing step work but I'm not having a relationship with my sponsor, if I'm having a relationship with my sponsor but I'm not connected to the we of the fellowship, like, None of this works. Like, one thing works better. They all kind of need to work together. I think the thing that I think about standing here being asked to speak on steps 1, 2, and 3 is the journey and the difference of the step work that I've done over the years. And so my clean date is November 10th of 1987. When I got clean, we had a basic text. And we had these worksheets that people's sponsors made up for them that, like, went around. And so, like, I got really simple direction in my early recovery on my step work. My sponsor said, read the basic text. Now, first of all, I have to, you know, backtrack before even step work came, is my sponsor said, I want you to open up the basic text and start writing about the first thing that you see. And if any of you ever had a sponsor that, you know, told you that, you recognize that you open up the basic text and the first thing that you see is a blank page. So I had to write about a blank page. Like, what did that say about me and my recovery? And I wrote about every chapter in the basic text before I even got to working the first step. And you know, it's crazy, like, the first step in the basic text is, I don't know, this might not be exact, but it's like 5 paragraphs. So that was my direction: read the step over and over again, draw circles around it, highlight it, write in it, use your pen, not my red pen. So I have to say this, so when I got clean, I had finished college and I had my degrees in secondary education, English. And my initial reaction to the literature was to take the red pen to it. So, you know, my sponsor told me to put the red pen away, that I had to write in any other color except red. So I have some purple in there and some green and some other stuff. But really the direction that I had then was to read the step, write about it, make comment, whatever it was, and then, like, you know, stuff that stood out to me, to write about what that meant to me in where I was in my process of recovery. And then shared that with my sponsor. So the sponsor that I did step work with, I had had a sponsor that I had for, I don't know whether it was 90 days, 6 months, whatever it was, and we didn't do any step work. So when I got this new sponsor, she wanted to get me moving. And so I remember, you know, her telling me very simply, to read it and write about it. And I really didn't know what the hell that meant. Like, I didn't really know what she meant by that. And I didn't have the level of humility to ask her. And, you know, I remember going back home after that and making a few phone calls to some people that, like, had just a little bit more time than I had. And you know, and I say that and it almost seems funny now because, like, I had 6 months and my sponsor had, like, 2.5 years. And that was a lot of clean time where we were. But I made a whole bunch of calls and nobody answered and I wanted to do this work. So I just sat there and read and wrote and read and wrote and read and wrote and, you know. And that was that. And a couple days later, after I was done, the sponsor that I had owned a flower shop and I used to go hang out at her flower shop. And I went, you know, with my papers in hand and went and was like, hey, I got this done. Can we talk about this? And she's like, okay, we'll get to it. She's running a business. She can't just stop to, like I'm that important that she's just going to stop in the middle of her business day to hear my first and second step. And, you know, and it's funny, like, I don't think that I, actually, no, I probably do still have that step work somewhere. I don't think there was anything really, you know, amazingly profound in it. There was probably the general, like, you know, what I think is like the general newcomer. It was all about, you know, the disaster that my life had become. You know, my whole first step was about the disaster my life had become. And I'm going to be really honest, like, at that point, I still wasn't blaming it all on the drugs or on the disease of addiction. I was still all about, like, so much of what was wrong in my life was because of you, because of the people in my life, because of the situations. If you lived my life at, you know, 21 years old and had experienced what I had in those first 21 years, you'd have been using too. Like, I was still so caught up in, like, being the victim of the circumstances that I was in. So I don't really know that there was anything, like, profoundly understanding of addiction and unmanageability in that first step. And even, like, that first, second step that I shared with her, I always like to think of it this way. Like, I did not actually come to believe in a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. I had been, by the time I was writing on that, I had been around a little bit, and there was a little bit more sanity in my life than there had been when I got here. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to attribute that to this power greater than me that I don't understand. But I remember sitting there in her flower shop with this work and, like, just waiting for her to give me that moment when, like, it was going to be my time to talk about this. And I don't know, like, in my head, like, I spent a whole 8-hour day at her flower shop. And it probably really was, you know, a couple hours. And she usually put me to work when I was hanging out. But I remember before she even, like, said, you know, said, like, let me hear what you have or anything like that, she looked at me and said very simply, I really just wanted to see if you were willing. Yeah. And, like, so much for me of, you know, the first 3 steps, the first time around working them, were just about my willingness, like, I don't know that I got any great, you know, personal, spiritual insight into myself the first time around with the early steps. What I got was that I was willing to do whatever you people told me to do to get another day clean because what I had been doing wasn't working for me. You know, step work is so different, you know, today for people because we have so many choices. So I remember, you know, when the It Works How and Why came out in 93, and there was a bunch of us that were like, we were rushing to do our steps again because, like, now there was a new experience. And I got to say, and there were still all those worksheets going around, and I always remember some of the things with the worksheets was like, people were competitive, or so it seemed about, well, I'm doing so-and-so's worksheet. Whose worksheet are you doing? And, like, these worksheets got passed around, you know, all over the place. So, like, you know, you're like, I'm doing Joe B's worksheet, and you're like, well, who's Joe B? I don't know. Like, you know, Joe B, some guy, you know, from out in Montana that probably isn't even clean anymore, but you want to be like, you're so cool because you're doing Joe B's step three worksheet. It was a little, we were a little nutsy then. But I remember when It Works How and Why came out and going through the steps in that same fashion that I did with the basic text in reading the step and writing on it. And for me, so much of, you know, the process of working the steps was not in what I wrote. Like, that was like the beginning of it. But for me, like, the true value of step work doesn't come between me and the pen and the paper. It comes when I'm sharing that with my sponsor, because that's the place where the therapeutic value of one addict helping another comes into play. You know, I was a writer before I got here. You know, my first fourth step, I went through a stack of journals and diaries that I had kept from the time I was 6 years old, all of these unwritten letters that I had never sent, all sorts of writing. If writing were the cure-all for addiction, I never would have picked up. You know, I remember sitting there, so, you know, again, the same thing, same process took place with the first three steps using the It Works How and Why, that connection to me, like, this is what it is. So we as a fellowship put some experience, strength, and hope down in some literature. We got wordier as we stayed clean longer. You know, what took five paragraphs in the basic text takes five pages in the It Works How and Why and takes 48 questions in the, you know, step working guide. But regardless of what tool I used, the first three steps remain like the basic foundation of everything that comes after it. You know, they get broken down to the idea of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Willingness being that final key for me in that therapeutic value. Like, it doesn't matter which step I'm sharing with my sponsor. It's that idea that, number one, what I think I'm so unique about, I'm not. I do have some unique things. We all have some unique things. But the things that we really think, like, I'm so unique, no. You know, my first third step, I know I'm probably bouncing all over the place. I really struggled with my first third step for some really specific reasons. Number one is I got clean in the California Brownsville area, which is in the middle of Fayette County. Hi, Kev. I'm a nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn, New York. So, like, what I was doing in California, PA is a whole other and getting clean there, getting clean in an environment where everybody had the same higher power and felt the need to name it every time they could. So not only am I a nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn, New York, but I'm a nice non-practicing, turn my back on God at age 7 Jewish girl from Brooklyn, New York. Like, there were times where I sat there and I was like, I'm never going to get this. Like, this isn't going to work for me. And I remember, again, sitting in the flower shop and Regina pointing out to me lines in the literature that I had read and written about multiple times, that, like, that higher power can be anything that works for us. That we don't have a right to tell each other, you know, what to believe, how to believe, who to pray to, how to pray to, whether to pray or not pray. And it was always like, in the moments when I was sitting with her, I could really believe that. And then I go to a meeting and 5 people would share and name their person, and I would be like, this is bullshit. I stayed, and I stayed through that, and as a result of a lot of stuff that happened after that, my acceptance of people who do that has, like, changed significantly, because I've now become comfortable enough to come in here and say that I don't believe in God. I don't believe in a supreme being. I have a higher power. It's very different from that. And once I became comfortable coming in here and saying that this is what I believe, and that what I believe is in accordance with our principles, our traditions, our literature, it made it, like, really much easier for me to be okay with you saying what you believe. And really what that's done for me is recognize that when we're each comfortable saying that, and we're each comfortable saying it without fear of judgment from somebody else, that newcomer who walks in, who hears this higher power, God as we understand him, and says, I can't get this, and then hears the eclectic beliefs that we all have in here, doesn't feel like I felt like I can't get this. They feel like, oh, wow, shit, I have that many options and then some. Like, that was just, you know, an amazing thing. And, like, it didn't come early in my recovery. I mean, it was only like 10 years ago that I really got comfortable with that. You know, like I said, the first 3 steps are like that foundation. And so I struggled with that 3rd step. And I wanted to believe that my struggle was because of what you guys talked about. And I had this idea about doing my first 3rd step at this particular tree up the mountain, up on the hillside, up on at the College Park area, and they were doing road construction. Oh, and I wanted to do it at sunrise. So I want to practice turning my will and my life over to the care of my higher power at sunrise at this particular tree that I cannot access because there's road construction. And my sponsor kept saying, hey, when are we going to do this? And I, like, kept saying shit like, well, you know, when the road construction's over, when this, when that, you know, whatever it was. And I ended up formally doing my first 3rd step probably around sundown in my sponsor's backyard as I was helping her prepare for a cookout. And it was just one of those moments where we were, like, sitting there and she says, well, this is probably as good a time as any that we do this. And I'm still on the, no, it's got to be. And she was like, do you hear yourself? And I'm still, like, she's like, no, do you hear yourself? I'm like, what do you mean? She said, can you say the 3rd step for me? I said, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to. And, like, mid-sentence, stopped. And, like, she looked at me like maybe I forgot what the step was. But it was, like, in that moment that I realized that, like, I'm trying to do this surrender, and I'm only going to surrender on my terms. We had a moment where we sat there and, I'm going to take that back. I sat there. She knelt. I sat there. And we together had a conversation with this higher power that I still didn't understand. And it's the higher power that, you know, here it is 20 some odd years later, and I still don't understand it all that much better. I definitely believe that my higher power understands me. So there's a couple things, and I was looking in my book this morning, because that's what I do, and there were a couple things that stood out to me that I think is pretty interesting, just in the way, like, I experienced it. This is my It Works How I. It should look like, if your book isn't falling apart like this, you're probably not using it right.
Or it's new.
Or it's new, right. Or you replaced it, right. Sorry, because I do. I have one of those that doesn't look like this anymore because I had to replace it. I'm struggling with the idea of retiring this. And so, but this is just one of those things. You know, when I have those little notes to self, it doesn't say note to self, but I know that's what it is. What is the difference between truth and fact? And that was in response to some stuff that's in the first step in the It Works How and Why. And the basis for a lot of the internal and external conflict in my life comes from the fact that I experience things as truth, and they are my truth, but they're not based on fact. And until I talk through those things with people, I don't recognize that, like, those things, while that's how I experienced it, isn't really how it is. So, like, one of the things, you know, one of the notes that I have in here that, so I'm also, like I said, I was an English major, so I'm all about words, so then I, like, have to look up the definition of everything, and so I have the definition of fact and truth in here, but there's a part of truth that says that which is true in accordance with fact or reality, that's like really, you know, and then a fact or belief that is accepted as true. And like, I think about all of these things that I accepted as truth throughout my younger years into early recovery that weren't true. I don't know if any of you experienced this, but, like, I believed it was true that I was never going to be good enough, that I wasn't enough. I believe that is true. I believe that is true until later down in the steps, 4, 5, and 6, and 7 helped me recognize that. But if we stop at 1, 2, and 3, and I, you know, I've been around here long enough. I see a lot of people do 1, 2, and 3 and never move forward. And, like, there's a line in the literature that says that, you know, if we don't do a third or fourth step, we're going to use. I've seen people get, you know, double-digit clean time, not do a fourth step and not use and be miserable. So I definitely believe that, you know, that we'll use might not mean use the drug. It's they're using everything else except the program. I don't want to be clean and be miserable. So, like, 1, 2, and 3 lay down that basic foundation. And I know, like, I'm looking out here talking to people who have all done a 1, 2, and 3 and a 4, 5, and 6 and a 7, 8, and 9 and a 10, 11, and 12 and gone back a couple times, so I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. you know, it's crazy. I'm doing a first step again, because our literature keeps growing. So I've sponsored people who got clean in the step working guy generation, and that was the way they chose to do their step work. And I am not, you know, I'm grateful that I have a sponsor who says stuff like, there's no such thing, or there shouldn't be cookie cutter recovery. So, and because we have resources available that I didn't have, you know, 27 years ago, doesn't mean I should deny people of those resources. So I've had sponsees do their step work out of the step working guide, and they hate it because they get done with all of those questions and then they talk to me and then I make them write some more, because it doesn't always get to what I believe the experience of the first step should be. But I'm, for the first time personally, doing my first step out of the step working guide, and I want to commit suicide sometimes. But like, our fellowship continues to grow, and I need to continue to grow with it. And I need to experience the things that come from our shared experience. And again, that like goes back to that whole idea of my writing by myself does nothing until I share it with another human being. Like, we have a shared experience, and I need to allow myself to grow from that. So, I don't know. I started writing, what, 5 years? 5 years ago, I started answering these questions. So, then I lost half of my work, so then I had to start again. So I go to a meeting that works out of the step working guide, which was really good, because if I was going every week, I could listen and answer the questions at the same time. And then I'd miss a few weeks, and then I'd have to catch up. And so my sponsor will be here on September 15th. So if you see me up at the campsite ferociously writing, that's because I'm, you know, trying to get ready for this first step experience again with my sponsor. And it's actually funny because it's like 1.5, because when I was in New Mexico with her, I went over what I had already written with her. So like, I'm like halfway done. Like, when you say you're halfway done with a step, that's really where I am. Like, I've actually like written and shared. And now I got to like finish writing. You know, I say that because I think that, you know, what the first step meant to me when I got here in 1987 is so different than what powerlessness and unmanageability mean to me today. And I can honestly say that I'm no longer looking at the idea that, like, my powerlessness and unmanageability is, you know, because I'm a victim or because of what you did. You know, 99.9% of the time, the unmanageability in my life is of my own making, and I hate to admit that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl. All right, our next speaker, I'd like to introduce Brian F. from Uniontown Saturday night.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a recovering addict. My name is Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
It was a spider. I wasn't throwing the paperwork everywhere. I should have went first. That's a tough act to follow here. Before I start, I will. My clean date is September 28th, 2013. And, you know, hopefully by the grace of God, I'll be celebrating 4 years coming up. Mm-hmm. And this is just crazy to me. I'll start. I just got off vacation and went down Ocean City, Maryland, first time on vacation clean. And I walked in there, and this lady, she asked me, as soon as I walked in, where are you from? I was like, outside of Pittsburgh. She's like, how much clean time you have? Boom. You're giving your lead. Thank you. I'm Brian, by the way. And I'm here to tell you, that was the lead that I gave that I just want to mic drop. You know what I mean? When I left there, I was like, that was it. That was my story. People related. And I had a month to think about what I'm going to say here today. So whatever comes out, comes out. You know, but this was my journey of recovery. You know, we all have different ways and different things. You'll hear different ideas, you know, but everything's, you know, in concrete with the step work. It's the same. Just about my personal journey, what I went through, you know, in my recovery. Not everybody here is going to relate to it, you know. There's going to be people looking at the pool thinking that's going to be nice at about 1 p.m. There's going to be people that shut me out, but then there's going to be hopefully someone here that can relate to what I've went through in my addiction and going through in my recovery. You know, and it's an honor to be here. You know, being asked to speak down here is driving down here. I always go through like memory lane coming back. You know, I'm from this area, and I would grab a case of beer, bag of Coke, drive around this dam for hours and hours and hours until I needed more. And if I made the bar before it closed, or always had a reserve somewhere. And to be asked to come down here and speak and give any type of hope, it's crazy. You know, it still blows my mind. You know, so, you know, just start off and, you know, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be alive. And, you know, talk on a topic is my step work for me and how my sponsor. There was a lot of action involved in my step work before I even put a pen down to paper. My sponsor explained things to me as I was getting clean of what I was doing. He pointed steps out to me, you know, trying to take inventories and you know, that I was powerless over drugs, you know, or my addiction, whatever it is, drugs, alcohol, whatever you want to say. My story told that, you know. My story showed the first step. I didn't have to think too far into it, that I was powerless over my addiction, whatever it was. He would ask me, you know, certain questions, and I would start talking. I would start answering them, and he's like, see, you're powerless. I didn't understand the word powerless until I remember sitting down with a guy in a coffee shop, and the guy wasn't even talking to me, and he was explaining to a guy just come in the room, and I said, do you know what it's like to be powerless? And the guy was listening, you know, like, no. And I'm sitting there pretending, you know, a couple months clean, thinking, I know what that means, you know. But I'm listening, and I really didn't know what it means. But I have a thing called ego and pride, and I want to pretend that I know more than I actually do. And I'm sitting there listening. He said, have you ever walked into a bar room? You know, we all like to pretend to go out and get wings and have a good time and watch the football game and, you know, just do guy shit. And he said, have you ever gone in there with the mindset that, you know, you're just going to have a couple drinks, eat some wings, some pizza, and go home? I'm sitting there, man, that's my story. You know, I'm not saying anything. I'm thinking, I still know what powerless is. What's this guy got to offer? And he started talking. He said, you go in there and every time you leave drunk. Every single time. I said, you're powerless over whatever you're putting in you. And I like that for me, for my understanding, that was like my story. And being in that moment at that time, I understood that then, you know. And I remember going back to my sponsor and explaining that to him. And he's like, yeah, you know, this is what we're talking about. Anytime you used, you know, while you're out there using, you're powerless. You hear people talk about being powerless clean. You know, I have more power today than I ever have, you know, not putting anything in me. I have options. I have tools to use in my life. And I have different beliefs. Growing up Catholic, I had a concept of God. I didn't understand he was going to restore me to sanity. I didn't think anything could restore me to sanity. I literally thought I was going to die out there, you know, is either in a drunken car crash or, you know, with a needle in my arm. That's was my acceptance at the end of my addiction. And I really, it's just a sad moment, you know, like them bottoms. My bottom was just looking back at it, it was like, how did I end up there? You know, the step work for me was like the Karate Kid. I was doing shit. I was wax on, wax off, paint the fence, do this, do that. And I didn't understand what I was being set up for. You know, I was doing things. I was putting action into my life. Not really getting any explanation, just willing to do it. And my sponsor would suggest, my sponsor told me, I'm not going to say he suggested anything because that's a lie. My sponsor told me, if you want what I have, you're going to do what I did. And I was willing to do that. So I was doing these things in my life, and he explained them, going through it, and then eventually, as I was doing, going through my, you know, I first started step one, it was around 6 or 7 months, when I was reading it, you know, just like it was said earlier, as I was told to, you know, pick up the book, start reading what stands out to you, highlight it, write on it, keep it simple, you know, say a prayer before you open up that book, end with a prayer, you know, invite what I believed into what was going to come out. Now, it wasn't a homework assignment for me. You know, my sponsor explained, you know, you're not pressured. This is your journey. So I opened up the book and, you know, started reading and started highlighting things. And one day I would do this, highlight it. It would remind me of something. I'd write it down. The next day I'd open up my book and I'd read on what I wrote. I'm like, and it would remind me of something completely different. And then I'd be like, I don't want to write that shit down. That's lame. I want to write this down. You know? And then the next day, I would read it again, and it meant something completely different. I think my brain is half fried. Yeah, we'll go with that. Because I can't remember a lot of things. But it's just funny as you read through the book of how many times. It don't matter. Now, you know, I'm just getting... it's funny that I got asked to do this because with a sponsor, you know, we're doing... I think the 12 and 12, you know, with a sponsor and a guy just started sponsoring, you know, we're just starting to go over the first step here. And it's just throughout my life, throughout my recovery here, these have been the foundation of what I've leaned on. I stayed on my third step for almost a year because I had trouble turning my will and my life over because of my own shit. I'm going through a struggle in my recovery. I'm not thinking I was going to stay clean through it. You remember I was powerless over, you know, my addiction. But having to turn my will and my life over and try to understand what God was putting out for me, you know, and just trying to understand that journey and see what He was. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to do God's will and not my will. I struggle with that some days. You know, but I understand it going through a struggle, and it also gave me an opportunity to grow closer to God through a struggle, and applying prayer, and applying step work, applying action. You know, sitting down and talking about what was really going on with me, what I was going through, how I wanted to get high, how I wanted to run, how I wanted to do everything, but stay clean. You know, I applied these steps in my life. 1, 2, and 3. Boom, boom, boom. The foundation. Because anytime things, and still to this day, anytime things get crazy in my life, my sponsor's like, 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3. Basic. Keep it basic. Go back to what you've done, what you know, and keep it basic. Don't complicate this. And I try to do that, you know. I try to serve, you know. I believe in my heart I was spared for a reason, and it's to help another recovering addict. It is to be out here to talk when I don't want to talk, to answer the phone when I don't want to answer the phone. 12-step calls, you know, step work. Call my sponsor, being there for my family, because I was never there for anybody in my life, being there for you know, the people in the rooms, out of the rooms, showing up to my job. I have a life because I turn my will over. And I try to practice that every day. things that I go through, you know, the struggles. I go through a lot of struggles internally. You know, I think we could all relate to that. A lot of mine, there's jealousy, envy, anger, shit I still don't know how to deal with. I can be miserable. I can say, screw all you. I don't need a meeting. I don't need all this crap. Relationship struggles, sexual struggles, physical struggles, you know, and I got to keep it basic for myself. You know, I got to keep it to understanding why I'm here. I'm not here to look good for everyone. You know, I'm not here to be Mr. Casanova. I'm not here to be, you know, anything but service. That's what I believe. Service for me. I'm selfish. A lot of times I don't want to do it, but every time I do it, I feel better. You know, things, I don't want to do step work, but I do it and I feel better. You know, so like there's tools that we're given, and steps are just part of it for me. You know, steps are part of it. I talk about it all the time. Step work don't mean shit without action. You know, 1 to 12, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what step you're on. There has to be action behind it. And that there, with that comes with like my willingness. And it's remembering where the hell I come from. You know, I remember what it's like to be dope sick. You know, wake up shivering, shaking, you know, calling this guy, calling this girl, not even having money, you know, figuring that out later, just finding out where the drugs were first, finding that shit out, and then plotting on, okay, I wonder where my dad's wallet is, okay, I wonder where my mom's purse is, shit, she's at work, I wonder if I can get into that vehicle while she's there, no, she locks it, wonder if she has a spare key. That's before I get out of bed. That was before I got out of bed, and then 1,000 other stories like that. I have to remember that, and I have to be willing to do things I don't want to do, you know. So it's I feel like I'm everywhere. It's a good day for me, you know. What's going on with me like today is just, it's beautiful out. I'll be up here with seeing people that I've used with, seeing people that I've never thought in a million years would be clean. People seeing me that in a million years never thought I'd be a guy up here giving, you know, an NA lead. Never. Wasn't happening. It wasn't, you know, so like days like this for me, I really, really take in, you know, the moments. I get recharged here. You know, same with going into, you know, just a regular meeting, my home group, whatever it is. You know, that's where I get centered. I laugh at my fiance. She's not in recovery. And she'll, like, hint, like, you and your sponsor going to do step work? She has no idea what step work is. You know, you going to go to a meeting? Sweetie, you've only been to 2 this week. You know? Because she knows when I come here and I talk, whatever's going on with me, I'll spew it. There's been times people are like, holy shit. You know what I mean? And I honestly don't care. I'm sorry, I don't. Because there's someone that can relate and there's someone that can hate. Let them. But it's me getting my stuff out. And I have to continue to do that. If I want to stay here. I didn't like the person I was before I got here. I got okay with myself for a little bit. And I'm getting to a point where sometimes I still don't like the person that I am. Because you take drugs and alcohol, you know, away from me, I'm still an asshole. I'm still selfish. I'm still jealous. I'm still self-conscious of everything. And it's the step work for me. You know, that's what it is. Hitting my knees every morning and night. That's my story. Hitting my knees every morning and night. Praying to something, you know. It was the action of surrendering for me. I when I got clean, I couldn't even get on my knees because right before I went out to Uniontown. I fell out of my car drunk. I don't remember leaving my friend's house. I remember being there drinking, and I fell out and I smashed my knees up, and I couldn't walk. Like, I was felt crippled, and I literally could not get on my knees to pray, but I still did it because I was scared. I was scared. I've heard in meetings before, if you're not praying, you're not staying. Usually whenever, I'll say this lightly, from my experience of seeing things, one of the first things that someone tells me when they go back out, they go on a relapse, is they stop praying or they weren't praying. You know, whether you're believing in something or not, it's the action of surrender. And like, that was explained to me. My sponsor said, I don't care if you believe in God or not, pray. It's like a friend. I'm not going to come in here and be best friends with, you know, this guy over here without putting footwork in. And then, you know what I mean? You don't just become friends with somebody right off the bat and have this great relationship with somebody and be like, man, this is great. He's my best friend. That's not how God was for me. I had to put in and test him. I testing God. Yeah, are you real? But that's what I had to come to believe myself. I had to come to understand something myself. And I put footwork in. I was willing to put the footwork in. Thank God for that. And I started receiving blessings, you know, like a day clean. A day clean. I think sometimes people take it for granted. I do, you know, getting in the routine of things. I forget about a day. I'm worried about a week. I'm worried about when I get paid. I'm worried about how fuel is skyrocketing right now. And I haven't bought it yet because I went on vacation and spoiled the girls that love me. Shit. I worry about that. And it's all for me is remembering where I come from. You know, really simple. I just know I don't want to go back there. I fear addiction. It's killing people every single day. There's people dying here. There's people dying there. There's people dying everywhere. I didn't even know of a way out. I've never read a step, heard of an NA meeting, heard of any meetings in our area until I got clean, and then people started popping up. There's four meetings now, you know, in the Somerset area alone. I think five. When I was getting clean, that wasn't possible. Yeah, I mean, it was possible, but that wasn't going on. Meetings need to keep popping up. There needs to be a safe place for us. Thank God for the meetings. Thank God for step work. Thank God for my sponsor. You know, thank God for guys instilling the fear of addiction in me, you know. To pick up is to die. That was told. I went into meetings, and that was preached in them meetings. You pick up, you will die. My story, I'm sure you guys can relate, but my story, that was pretty fucking evident. That if I went back out there, I was going to die. I didn't have one more in me. One more. That was it. I believe 120%. That if I picked up one more time, I'm dead. I'm not up here giving a lead. I'm not talking about step work. I'm not talking about sponsoring guys. I'm not talking about being there for my family. I'm not talking about there being my fiance, her daughter, my job. None of that shit's possible. I'm dead. And I remember that. And I come here and I mumble up here for 25 minutes. And I'm sure someone can relate. And like I said, it blows my mind that I'm hope for someone. You know, I was a guy that, my whole life, he's a good guy. He's just caught with the wrong shit. He's caught up in the wrong things. He's doing the wrong things. And that was just me putting on a show. From 11 years old to 27 years old, it was all about a drink or drug for me. You know, it wasn't anything else. There was no ambitions to be successful in my life. I like sports. I played a lot of them, but I didn't really want to be good at them. I wanted to have a good game so we had a good party afterwards. You know? So my life from 11, I don't remember much before that, besides getting my ass kicked from my brother, for real. I don't remember much. So from 11 to 27, it was all about a drink or drug for me. From 27 to 31 today, it's been all about recovery. That's my timeline of my life. I just need to keep my recovery first. I need to keep coming back. I need to keep showing up when I don't want to. Like I said earlier, it's an honor to be up here. I feel like I rambled. I apologize for that. I should have went first. I really should have. She really killed it, you know. Really killed it. Or I can look up Ocean City, Maryland. If they recorded that one, I'm going to have them send it up here and put that one on. And then you guys will be like, whoa. You know. So, but it's an honor, you know, to be up here. And thank you again for listening to me. It's a good day to be clean.
Thank you, Brad.